In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Ituria and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Albanini, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Stella. You know, Advent, it's a season where it offers opportunity for us to pray for Christ's return and prepare for his second coming. And so in this second Sunday of Advent, the season of Advent, we focus our attention on the prophetic voice of John. John the baptizer, who invites us to live in preparations for Christ's second coming. John calls out to disciples, of his disciples, and he calls out to us this morning, prepare the way of the Lord. The question for us now is, how do we do that? How do we prepare the way for the Lord? And John gives us the answer, we need to repent. And repentance actually expresses deep sorrow and regret for our sins. In Luke's gospel, John was already in the wilderness. And in the wilderness, that's where a lot of people go to meditate, to discern, and to hear the voice of God. A place where people meet with God. And this is where the word of God came to John the Baptist. Because John is a preacher. He is a preacher proclaiming the repentance of forgiveness of sins, performing ritual cleansings akin to the Jewish purification rites. So God calls John to preach repentance as the appropriate word for the people in their preparations for the coming of the King. And so preparing the way of the Lord, what does that actually include? Preparing the way for the Lord, what does that actually include? Paths need straightening. Valleys need to be fulfilled. Crooked things are relaxed. Rough things are smoothed out. Mountains and hills that had to be leveled. And any obstacles that get in the way, they need to be removed so that they will not hinder the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so our contribution to the preparation is simply to repent, to turn around, to change our ways, expressing deep sorrow for the sins that we have made, to be cleansed. So we are to be made holy, to able to come into the presence of God. For it is the presence of God where our story, your story, my story, together with the story of God, connects. Where your story, my story, our story as a community, our story as the Redlands City combined church. Our story together combines with Jesus' story, where the path needs straightening, where our story, where valleys needs to be fulfilled again, where our story, the mountains and hills need to be leveled out, for our stories need to connect with the story of God. You know, John had an important story, important place in the story, for it was John's prophetic words that was preparing the way for Jesus. And while God was setting the table, getting everything ready to reveal the things of a new light to others who were also preparing the way of the Lord's coming. You know, later weeks coming up, we're going to hear about the story of the angel Gabriel, how he went and visited Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph, how his story connects with God's story. But meanwhile, others were making paths more crooked, valleys much deeper, mountains much higher than ever. Everything that they could do to actually make the way difficult for the coming of Christ. As we lead up to Christmas, we're going to hear in those stories that Rome had will declare it was time for the census. Herod was trying to be great as Caesar so he might achieve the title of king. Where darkness was descending at the hands of those who blocked the way of liberation, who blocked the way of justice, who blocked the way of peace, even the way of compassion. And just as the Jews of Jesus' time knew, we also know as well that we are not alone in the dark. Our table is set. We have lit the candle of Advent, which begins everything. So even the shadow, even the darkness will take on the new beauty when caught by this light, as it is making its way in the wilderness, straightening the crooked paths, smoothing out to the rough places, turning road towards Bethlehem. You see, the light will come. The light will come. So how are we to prepare ourselves to lean towards this light? Can we be ready ourselves to trust enough that we might live in darkness, as it were, strolling in familiar places with a good companion? Or are we to embrace it as if we were going through difficult valleys of our lives without being afraid of them? Or can we anticipate with God in our story, as if over and over again, a grace filled with word will come to find us, wherever we may be in our dark situations? But the question is, are we ready to accept that light? But you see, we have a God. We have a gracious God who really doesn't need us to be prepared. He will come to us regardless of what situation that we're in. He will come to us regardless of the efforts that we put in at a time that we might least expect it. Even when we're in the dark times, even when we're in the wilderness, he will come to us. And you know how he comes to us? He comes in a whisper. In the whisper in our hearts. He comes in our dreams when we sleep. He comes when we interact, connect, engage with one another. He comes when we respect one another as Christians. And when he does come, those are the miracles that we are waiting for. Those are the miracles for which we try to prepare ourselves. The one that brings hope into our lives, the one that brings love into our lives, that brings grace into our lives. Because we're engaging that story, our story, with God's story. And when we engage that story with God's story, it gives us new strength, gives us new faith, gives us new hope, new light. Where our preparations will bring nothing that will confuse others. Others who are waiting also for the Messiah, who knows that it is Jesus who gives life. It is Jesus who gives fullness in people's lives. And that is exactly what our lives desperately seek. So let us have the confidence that the one who looks at the powers is the one who enlivens our lives. And this is the one who invites us to actually prepare the way of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So maybe we can take that courage of John the Baptist with us, who dares to go against what is and declares what will be. Prepare the way of the Lord. Looking for Jesus coming. And more so especially, remove anything in our lives as individuals, as a congregation, that might confuse others who are willing to come into our churches, willing to come into our family, willing to come in our community. Giving that message out to the ones about the one who gives life and release from the prison of the old order. So we are given the words of life, not just for ourselves, but also to share that word of life to others around us. And when we share that life, that word of life to others, it actually makes the path not crooked anymore, but straight. We have to straighten the path for others to receive Christ. There is no other way for people to accept Jesus except the way of the Lord, the path, to make his path straight. Can you hear that calling of John the Baptist? Prepare the way of the Lord, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. In Jesus' name, amen.